A lot of stuff going on in the world, and a lot of the focal point around the world is on the nation of Israel. God's thumbprint, as Dana, my former co-host, used to say, is right square in the middle of that very tiny nation. One thing that we on this program have always supported is the nation of Israel and the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I make no bones about that whatsoever. So, Baruch Hashem, God be blessed. Anyway, my guest today, the Torah and the Testimony Revealed is their ministry. I'm very, very pleased to welcome Hezekiah and Abigail. Hezekiah.
Good to see you.
Abby.
Hi.
Good to see you. Really appreciate you guys being here today.
Yeah,
you've been guests in the past, so your return.
Yes.
And we're glad that you are. So.
Thank you for having us.
Tell me a little bit about your ministry, the Torah and the Testimony Revealed. Did I get it in the right
yes,
order?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it had to be the Torah first and then the... Mm. Tell us, though, what do you do?
Well, we do a lot of publications. We have a lot of online studies. I do a lot of eschatology and chronology. And then we do a little bit of outreach here and there, you know, visiting people in old folks' homes and things. And but for the most part, we're... a publication outreach, and we're Hebrew roots, and we teach the Torah and the Testimony, and it's one of those things that we don't really think about it in the past decades, but recently, you know, it's coming to this point where we're coming to realize that the Torah, God's instruction to His people, is still just as valid today as it was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, because it's a reflection of His mind, it's who He is, and it's the actual imprint of how He sees things. And so when we embrace His Torah, his mind, then we become closer to how He is, reflecting His image more accurately. And then we have the testimony, of course, that Yeshua, that Christ, that he came and He died for our sins. And he took our penalty upon Him, the curse of the law, that curse that would come when you broke God's law, when you broke the Torah, or violated it, that curse Yeshua took upon His own body, and so that our obedience from this point forward would be a benefit to us in an eternal way, provided that we go and sin no more, you know. And if we slip and fall, then of course we confess that and agree to work on not doing those sins anymore either. But it's a balance between the two, Torah and testimony. It's all His grace. His Torah is grace because it shows us how to get out of a life of sin and how to get out of that life of death. And of course the testimony is grace because that's the salvation, that's what saves us and redeems us from the past consequences that we owed at one time, but which we no longer owe because of what Christ did for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, we often hear Jesus, Yeshua, spoken of as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Passover Lamb.
Yes.
And obviously, Christians celebrate Easter, Resurrection Day, I prefer. But basically, that's based on the Passover. And I would like for you to expand on that a little bit. And why did the Son of God have to come to this earth and become that Passover Lamb?
Hmm. Well, initially, it was like the Passover. Of course, it's taken on the connotation of Ishtar now, and that's where the word Easter comes from. It was originally Babylonian, then Medo-Persian, and Grecian, and then Romans, and everyone, each time a new nation would take over a previous nation, they would rename everything. And that's what the Romans did, basically. They took that and they Christianized everything. But the original believers did celebrate the actual Passover. Mm-hmm. They didn't call it Easter, they called it Passover. And the reason why Yeshua, of course, had to come was because when we violate Torah, well, the penalty is death. And that's why Adam had to die, because he violated the instruction of God by partaking of the forbidden fruit of the tree. And so when death entered in, well, now we had to have a way made available to us to be redeemed and removed from that path that we were on. And that could only be done two ways, either by our own spiritual death, because we're already dying physically, but either by our spiritual death or by Yeshua taking our place and paying that penalty for us, so that after we leave these bodies, then we can be resurrected and have eternal life and avoid eternal death that way. So Yeshua had to be that lamb, because the lamb had to be perfect, had to be spotless, blameless, without sin. You know, I can't pay off somebody's debt if I owe that debt myself. So Yeshua had to be sin-free. And that's what he did. When he came, he kept all the commandments of Yah perfectly from the womb, from the time of conception, all the way to the time he died on the cross. He never once sinned, not even accidentally, not even unintentionally. So, which is something we can't do. Now, we can overcome sin in this life, as the scriptures say, but it doesn't change the fact that we all have sinned sometime in our life, and most of us have sinned a lot in our lives. And so we have a lot of repenting to do. We have a lot of teshuva to make, and we have a lot of things to overcome before we can master our bodies and get the sin and those desires under control. But through the blood of Yeshua and through his forgiveness and through the remission of those sins, that chain is removed from us, so to speak. That chain of slavery and that bondage to those desires is removed. And so we have power now to master our desires and to control our will and to submit ourselves more freely and more quickly to God's will and plan for us.
Now, under the old Jewish law, actual animals were sacrificed. And again, when Yeshua came, basically that practice, for the most part, ceased because he was the perfect sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Now we come to him, yes. Correct?
Yes, and it wasn't the Jewish law, it was God's law.
Right.
And it's the testimonial part of the law, because you have the Torah and the testimony, and that's why you have the tablets of the testimony, the Ark of the Testimony, the Tabernacle of the Testimony, so on and so forth, because God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And His Son gave it, imparted that life to us through His death and resurrection as a Passover lamb, but also as a burnt offering, as a free will offering, and all the other sacrifices are all pictured in those. And so that aspect of the Torah, the testimony, the subsection kind of, you could call it, was the part dealing with our need for remission of sin.
So the right and wrong hasn't been changed. Right and wrong has always been here.
Yeah, right and wrong is always right and wrong.
Yeah.
But as far as how sins are remitted, well, that was the tabernacle, which eventually was replaced with a temple, and the sacrifices within it. They were given as a temporary tutor to point us to Yeshua, like Galatians says, that 430 years after the promises given to Abraham, we will be given covenant which would supersede the covenant given at Mount Sinai, which would supersede the previous covenant that was Melchizedek. And the Melchizedek order of priesthood was basically a man was a priest and a king over his own house. He would offer up sacrifice on behalf of his own family, like Noah and like Job and so on. But when we came out of Egypt, we had a family of several million people. One man couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so we had this other priesthood that was introduced, a Levitical order, which temporarily took the place of the Melchizedek order in order to provide remission of sin for the nation of Israel, of several million people, and to teach them the need for salvation, the need for repentance, the need for remission of sin, until Yeshua himself could come and do that for his own family, like as a priest and king over his own family.
Like a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like a picture of Yeshua coming, mm-hmm. with the sacrifices.
What he would do for us.
You know, it's interesting because it says that, that he was crucified from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. God's plan was there all along.
That's right.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
He has always been that perfect lamb. Mm-hmm. It's just that the timing had to be right for certain things to be introduced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, there are things that I think a lot of modern day Christians miss. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is, by not going back to our Hebraic roots, we don't really understand things. Yeah. We need to understand a little bit more of the culture, the mindset, the actual teachings of Torah, mm-hmm. to really appreciate what is Christianity. I think a lot of people separate that, oh, well, we're Christians and they're Jews. Well, yeah. No, you know, guess where it came from.
That's right.
And we need to understand the roots. This is where you guys come in, and I appreciate that.
In fact, Yeshua came to break that wall of separation, so we can come together and be one in His instructions and in salvation. And that's what's happening now in the end times, is He's bringing His family together.
Yeah, and that's a reference in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe, where it talks about that middle wall of partition. That was actually the Sorig wall. It was in the temple, and it was a wall that had been constructed according to the traditions of man in order to keep the Gentiles from coming too far onto the Temple Mount, and that wall separated the Israelites from the Gentiles. But Yeshua said, you know, it's a house of prayer for all nations, and always from the very beginning, all nations have been invited to be part of the covenant that was given to Abraham to be grafted in, to be a fellow heir, and so on, which is what Ephesians says, once again, that once that wall was torn down, now the original plan to have the people of the nations grafted in could now freely flow like it was originally intended to occur. And so now, as Ephesians says, the Gentiles who have been grafted in are fellow heirs and fellow citizens with us. So we are now all Israel, not replacement Israel, but the grafted in to the Israel that has always been here from the time of Jacob. And as far as that goes, you could look at Abraham, for example. Well, Abraham wasn't an Israeli. Israel wasn't born yet. Jacob wasn't born yet. He was, in effect, a Hebrew-speaking Gentile. But yet he's part of Israel now. He was a father of Israel. He was a grandfather of Israel. So that's what's happening with everybody else now. You have the natural branches and you have the wild ones being grafted in, but it's all Israel. Those are the ones the covenants and promises are given to. And so when he gives us his instruction, he gives us his Torah, his laws or commandments or whatever you want to call them, therefore all his people, because that is how he runs things, that's how he looks at things. And that's...
See, that's the neat thing about it, is it's a covenant. I mean, he's made a marriage covenant. I mean, here we're his bride, right? So, I mean, he's going to follow through with what he said. And now he's asking us to follow through with what we say. And that's the neat thing about it, is that covenant.
No, we don't have
relationship.
To guess and wonder how are we supposed to conduct ourselves. You know, some people say, well, we just do what Christ said. Well, everything Christ said comes right out of the Torah.
Yeah.
In fact, in the Torah, a lot of the things that Christ said were only principles, and Yeshua teaches them as commandments. And there's, in fact, more commandments in the New Testament than in the Old. So there are only 613 in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, or what people call the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there's 1,050. And every single one is founded in the Torah. So is that doing away with the Torah? Or is that bringing out more fully and with greater detail? Is that doing away with the Torah, or is that simply doing away with the curse? Because in Deuteronomy, he says in Deuteronomy that his Torah is on our hearts, that we may do it. So right there at Mount Sinai, we're in the wilderness, he's saying, it's already in your heart that you can do it. So we really don't have any excuses. It's just a matter of agreeing to do it. And he says, if we agree to do it, you'll be blessed. If you don't do it, you'll be cursed. And so right there, we see that the law isn't a curse. It's how we interact with it. If we're interacting with it through submission to his will, then there's a blessing. If against his will, then there's a curse. It's like gravity. We can work with gravity, we can work against it. So with this in mind, when we come to then, we fast forward to the New Testament, the Brit Kadoshah, and he says we're no longer under the law but under grace. Is it the actual law, or is it the curse? It's the curse that we've died to, that's what's been removed. But the blessing, see, if we do with the law, then we're doing with the blessing that the law produces too. And so law is just a bad translation, that's all. It's not that it's a bad thing, it's a bad translation. It should have been translated as instruction, the instruction of God, which has been given to us and revealed to us.
When
we look at it that way, then it's like, oh, it's not these laws and these rules that are meant to restrict us and hold us down and take our freedoms. No, his instruction is to free us from sin. It's all about freeing us from sin and teaching us how to love him and how to love our neighbor and even how to love our enemies.
And just like if you read David in Psalms, he talks about how good the law is.
Oh, Psalm 119. It's nothing but a praise for his Torah. Mm-hmm. And so I like to use Torah. I'm kind of using law here just because that's the term most people are familiar with. But really, Torah, his instruction, is a better way to put it. And because there's more than one law, there's several types of laws. There's human laws, there's the law of sin, there's
law of faith.
Law of faith, and God's instruction to us has law within it, but itself is not law. It just have components within it that are law, but it also has a testimony, which is, if you're going to categorize that as law, well, that would be the law of how to be saved. That is, believe in Yeshua, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the grave, and if we confess our sins and agree to go and sin no more, you know, do our best to commit ourselves to that end purpose, then by following those instructions, following that law, then our sins are remitted. But no matter how you look at it, everything has rules to it. Everything has conditions. Any kind of agreement has conditions, and we do our part, he does our part. And
the focus isn't the rules, the focus is the relationship.
The relationship.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you want to, you know, think about the commandments and have them on your heart and read them, but it's not about, you know, you're not, that's not the main focus. I mean, like, if you're going to fly an airplane, you know, after you learn all the rules, you know, you're enjoying flying the airplane now. I mean, you still know the rules in the back of your mind, but it's a joy now.
Yeah, you know, it's not like you're thinking about all the rules all the time when you're flying the plane. It's internalized. You become, you know, it might be hard going through flight school to learn all the rules at first, but once you learn, it's like, oh, this is easy. It's second nature. You just do it like a co-pilot. It's just kind of autopilot kind of a thing. And it's information is what it is. It's a wealth of information. It's from his very mind that it came. And Moshe was just the one who wrote it down for us and passed it on to us. And then Yeshua and the apostles just expanded upon that and added clarification and added details. But it's all the same instruction, just more perfectly presented for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I was a little bit surprised by, it's been years now, of course, but reading through the Psalms, David talks about having the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's right.
And I think a lot of Christians, I know I did in my early days, seem to think of that as totally a Christian thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the this and the that, and it's like, well, no. I mean, the people that were whose hearts were enjoined in the relationship you talked about with the Lord, I mean, the Holy Spirit was very much relevant to them.
Yes.
Well, he even talks about, what is that, not Samson, the one that ended up being the bad king, or the first
Saul.
King, Saul. He said that the Spirit came upon him.
Yeah, he prophesied. He was among the prophets.
Yeah.
So. Yep. But then he turned his back, started doing things his own way, and like David said, no, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Yeah. It created me a clean heart. And so it was given, but we could also grieve the Spirit, and the Spirit can remove itself from our life as well when we're misbehaving in order to bring that grief, and we can feel that separation and yearn to return to that relationship and be restored.
So when you read David and read the Psalms, and he talks about how the law and the Torah is such joy and blessing and goodness and wonderfulness, how can that be done away?
Yeah.
How can we not do that anymore?
Yeah, he says
why
that,
would something good be done away?
It says that it makes us wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers. So
I encourage people on this program to read the Word, to be into it every day. And one thing that I encourage them to do is to start with the Psalms and the Proverbs, because the Psalms are going to teach you the heart and mind of God.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to learn who is God. Why do we have these little things that do this and don't do that? Well, you understand who God is and why things are the way they are. The Proverbs are great because they teach you how to live every day and interact with other people and just to do the right things and
how
to make your life the best it can be. So
that's
again,
right.
if people are not really Bible readers, I mean, even the little New Testaments, quote unquote, always, you know, almost always have the Psalms and the Proverbs included.
Yes,
I mean, what a great way to, you know what, listen, we're coming down on time. We've got a couple of minutes left, and there's a lot more we need to talk about. Will you guys come on again the next program, please, and let's continue?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you bet.
There's just so much more that I want to cover.
Sure.
One thing and all, this will be a kind of a lead-in next time. You talked a little bit about when you turn away, about how we invoke the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that in relationship to this nation. Mm. Because if anything, this nation has turned away from the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And I believe right now we're under judgment.
I believe that.
We're going to save that discussion for next week. So, folks, be there. Be there or be square. Anyway, just under 2 minutes to go.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and finish this out.
Okay.
So basically, the emphasis is on the relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which just happens to be defined by rules, like any relationship.
Well, yeah, just
is.
Like with a parent with a child, or their husband and wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got rules.
And you think of some of those rules are like, well, don't curse a deaf person. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Mm-hmm. Don't move your neighbor's boundary marker. And then you can even use it, dietary laws. We think, oh, he's just trying to keep us from eating things that we enjoy. No, actually, when he talks about unclean meats, that Hebrew word, tame, means toxic. And so when we eat unclean meats, we're bringing toxins in our body. So he's trying to protect us from that. He does it for our benefit and for our good, not to restrict us or to harm us.
You know, and I think more people need to realize that. It's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts and regulations. And it's just like you talk about laws in marriage, you know, mm-hmm. like Abigail says, Hezekiah, you will do the dishes and you will take the trash. I love you guys, dear.
Yeah.
Got to joke around a little bit. But
yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
You know, it is all, if God tells us something, it's all for our good.
Amen.
And,
for protection.
And the guy on the floor is telling me that we're under 30 seconds, and I think that's for my good. So, Lord bless you folks, Hezekiah and Abigail.
Yeah,
we will
too.
See you,
you as well.
We'll see you back next week, and I appreciate you being here. And,
you bet.
You know, it enriches my walk with the Lord to find out where the roots come from. So, folks, dig in. Get into the Psalms. Get into the Torah. And pray for this country. See you next week. Love you.
Shalom.